Welcome into the program. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Paulie Howard at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Loaded today as always. Paul Stone on the program coming up in 45 minutes. Try to get you some winners in the golf world and college basketball today. Indy Jeff, you know the deal with him on Wednesdays. Every single week during golf, he gives out his best bets to win. He's got like four or five for this week, including a really long bomber. And Mike Palm on the program. We have Wednesdays with the Maestro coming up in about 2 hours. And we will get to the madness that took place last night in 5 minutes, because it was the definition of the word. So good in college basketball.
Great day.
But Paul, as we woke up this morning, how about this? The Phoenix Suns are in first place.
All right.
In the Pacific Division.
Yeah.
By percentage points over the Lakers.
Let's go.
Half game over the Clippers. And they're 3.5 back at Utah for the number one seed.
Yep. They've won 15 of 18. We mentioned the two. We've said it many times about the two games they gave away, or it'd be a 17 out of 18 run. Booker gets ejected midway through the third quarter, and they still win. Now, the Lakers didn't have Kuzma and Gasol. We know about Davis, but the Suns actually, Lakers were laying two, and then it flipped the other way with the Suns laying two, and the Lakers had nothing. So a nice win for the Suns, but you know, not congrats, but good job by the guy who grabbed 50-1 while we were on vacation. But to be talking about this at 22, 20, 18, 16-1, and now we're almost halfway through the season and they're in first place, it's tough at the difficult, not impossible, tough schedule at the back end of April. But this whole handicap came down to, number one, they're good. Number two, what they did in the bubble helped them with a confidence standpoint and realizing they can win some big games or some meaningful games for the first time. And number three, why would the Lakers and Clippers care? It's not a goal at all for them. While the Suns think might go for this, and why the Lakers and Clippers are under load management and sitting people, and Davis is hurt again.
Yeah, and you know that's the tricky thing about talking about pretty much any sport in our time window, including the NBA. What was it, a few minutes before game time last night, Kawhi Leonard going to miss the game against the Celtics? And I know when we were on the air yesterday, the Clippers were a 4-point favorite in that game. But that kind of stuff happens. And then, you know, Davis is banged up for a long time here for the Lakers. And the addition of Chris Paul still is not talked about enough in the NBA.
Right. And yesterday at Bet Rivers, the Suns were still 10-1 to win the division. Still 10-1. They're in first place. They should have won. They should be 17-1 in their last 18. Yep. They're a hell of a team.
And what are they now in the first quarter?
19-4 run. ATS first quarter.
And by the way, what happened again last night in the fourth quarter?
Another one.
49 combined points. Pre-game, I saw 53.5 or 54. That's where I got it at.
What's that run now?
16-4, I believe.
There we go.
To the under in the fourth quarter with the Lakers games.
Yeah. Lakers are also 2-10. 2-10 run first half. Not good. So that's been ugly.
Yeah, that game. And then you had what Denver did to Milwaukee last night.
My God.
In Milwaukee, they won by 30.
Joker had 37, 11, and 10. Mamma mia. Oh, my God. What a performance. What are those nights? Dogs went 5-1 in the NBA, and the Suns opened the dog, but they were the only favorite that covered. And favorites went 7-1 in the NHL.
Yep.
Penguins the only dog to win.
And I will tell you this, if the month of March, and I just tweeted this out, lives up to last night in the Horizon League, there's a good chance it's the best month of basketball we're ever going to have. Details coming up next.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Number 10, Villanova laying 4 at home with the 14th-ranked Creighton Blue Jays today at the Finneran Pavilion, 146.5 the total. Villanova upset at Butler on Sunday, 73-61, in which the Wildcats shot just 2 of 27 from three-point range. In the NBA, the Brooklyn Nets are a 7.5-point road favorite at Houston. The Rockets have lost 12 straight, 226.5 the total. Indiana has dropped 4 straight games. They're laying 6 at Cleveland, 216.5 at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. In the NHL, Vegas winners of 3 straight, laying $1.45 at home against Minnesota, plus 125. It's March, so it's time for the madness. Put the VSiN experts to work for you, watching the bubble teams, conference tournaments, and looking for those Cinderellas. Now's the time to start your free VSiN trial to get members-only daily email updates, our upcoming bracket betting guide, and 24/7 coverage. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Senna.
Get the latest VSiN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
Hey, welcome in. Here it is. The madness is here. What a night in the horizon. And now's the time to sign up for your free trial of VSiN to put our experts to work for you. VSiN.com/subscribe. Everything we have, conference tournaments, Selection Sunday coverage, the upcoming bracket betting guide, everything you need to get ready for betting on the tournament. And just for, you know, also you have that great promotion that we always have, $1 a day. You get every pick from every host and every guest. And how about Nigel? Nigel will be on Friday. Remember Nigel was talking about, now I don't know how many people can get this with League Two, but remember when Nigel was talking about Tranmere at 50 and 60-1 and they were totally mispriced? They won again. They're 2 points back. They are 2 points back and they are on fire. So that's another reason to subscribe. VSiN.com/subscribe. And the madness is here. Get up there. Everything we offer. VSiN.com/subscribe. Bill 80 doesn't sleep. Get all that. Get all the picks.
You know,
get all everything. All the emails.
I looked high and low for that and also for Oxford. I couldn't find either one of them.
Updated, or before?
Updated.
Before, okay.
Updated.
Yeah.
And how many tickets does he have on this team?
Numerous.
Like countless tickets at gigantic numbers.
Yeah. Well, he tipped them at 16-1 before the season started.
Yeah.
And then he said, well, they got off to a slow start. He said 50 and 60-1. It's totally mispriced. He thinks they're the best team in that league too. And now they're on fire. They're 2 points back.
Yeah.
They're winning. They're getting help. And the table sets up nicely for him.
Good for him. Absolutely cooking.
He is cooking.
Yeah. That's the kind of day that we had yesterday in college basketball from an entertainment standpoint. It started off with a 5 o'clock Eastern game, 2 o'clock out here. I mean, I want more of those games. I mean, please, for the love of God, give us more games at, I don't care, noon, 1, 2 o'clock.
That's right.
Baylor and West Virginia was, okay, so it was almost as good as Michigan-Ohio State. It was one of the best games I've seen in college basketball the entire year. Some shaky calls, which we can touch on, but that game produced the rare double bad beat. If you were watching the game, Baylor and what they were laying, small number, a couple in the first half, it comes down to they have a, they're leading by, I believe it was one. It's West Virginia ball, right? And there was a play where the on the baseline, the player for West Virginia cannot run the baseline. He forgot about it. So he did turn it right back over to Baylor. They have no time to work with whatsoever for a shot before halftime. They get a look. Kid makes the shot. Bam, there you go. I know Wes Reynolds was on the air at the time on My Guys in the Desert here on VSiN. He had West Virginia. That was a loser. And then how it boiled down to, actually, the final 3 minutes were tough to watch, but other than that, it was fantastic. Then it goes to overtime, and as we've said 17 zillion times, you never want the dog in overtime.
Yep. I thought they were going to run him out. Baylor was off to a great start. Everything was going in. Huggy Bear made the adjustments.
Yep.
West Virginia comes all the way back. They were actually laying 2.5 late in that game in play. And then the kid rushes the rack, lays it in. We go to overtime. Fantastic. You're right. You know, and that was interesting because that opened three here. It was 5-0 on the air. There were 5.5s out there. Then I saw 4. And then you see where it falls, 5.
Yep. And I said on the air yesterday, if it got back to 5 in the day, I would take it. I would consider 4.5. I never did take 4.5, and I never saw it get back to 5 out here. So I did not bet the game. That said, and I know people don't like it when we, you know, complain about the referees, but I will tell you, it's part of the game. Like, coaches get so much heat from everybody. Players get so much heat. There, and with a guy that had who had zero action in the game last night, I can tell you that there were 3 blatantly bad calls that went against West Virginia at home. And it was back-to-back in the first half. And there was Shane Battier completely took a wrecking ball to college basketball 20-plus years ago with this stupid block charge thing. And they've never really, they've tried to tinker with it. They still can't get it right.
Well, blame ESPN for keeping track of it.
Yeah. And there was the call right in the game in the first half when West Virginia's trying to make a comeback. It was so awful. And then another call went against them late in the game as well. That was another bad one. That said, West Virginia can play with anybody in the country. And we know about Baylor. Off the break, struggled a little bit. Probably should have lost the game last night. Doesn't matter. They're a force to be reckoned with, and certainly going to be a one seed, and that game was just awesome to watch.
Yes. That's big for them because, you know, Drew talked about the COVID issues and the 3-week layoff. Now they get Oklahoma State, and they get another game on Sunday before the tournament. How about what Illinois did to Michigan?
Oh.
That surprise killed them. That was surprising. And once again, life on the bubble. You're on the bubble for a reason, right? Wes Reynolds talked about this yesterday. Xavier, open 1, close 3. Was getting blown out early, made it look respectable, but lost to Georgetown. And how do you explain Boise State?
Mm.
They were laying 14 to Fresno and got beat. So they're going to be bye-bye. All these teams on the bubble keep losing.
You know, there was talk locally a day ago that the Mountain West could potentially get three teams in the conference. And I was like, Mountain West, three teams? That just seems so unlikely. And then Boise goes and does that last night. Like a typical Mountain West team would perform, right? Laying 14 points in a team that you should absolutely take care of, no problem. Yep. And you lose it outright.
Nope. Yeah, it was a lot of great stuff. I mean, some vicious beats, too. You pointed this out as well.
Oh, my God, I mean, the beats.
How about, let's start with the Texas game, where it's just, there's a completely different ball game between the NBA and college. Iowa State's catching 12 and a half. They're down 12 with 15 seconds. They foul. Mm-hmm. Texas makes the free throws. Go home. What play are you drawing up? Why in the world would you foul down 12 with 15 seconds? Then you saw what transpired in the Buffalo game, where that total was it opened 153. It closed 159. They scored 94 points in the second half, and it comes 158.
Uh-huh.
That was bananas. So the West Virginia double bad beat. You had the Horizon. Well, which you're like you said with the tees. If we can get this, I mean that was an all timer. That was historic. What happened in the quarters in the Horizon? The one seed Cleveland State wins in three overtimes. Let's start there with that.
They had to bank in a three to force one of the overtimes.
And the kid hadn't made one all year, or was that the Northern Kentucky?
I'm not sure.
Someone hit a shot that hadn't made a three all year.
Okay.
So you had that. The 4-seed Northern Kentucky wins at the buzzer. Detroit.
Oh, by the way, did you see what happened in that game?
Detroit was up 5 with 3 minutes. They didn't score the rest of the game.
Yeah. They had 69 points with 3:45 to go, never scored again. And Northern Kentucky, I think they had 4 chances in the final 10 seconds, and they scored a layup with 4 seconds to go to take a 70-69 lead. So I can kiss my 8-1, and the bracket opened up beautifully last night for long shots in that conference. I had Detroit 8-1 in Youngstown State, 20-1, and they go down in overtime. Yep. That was another one.
3-seed wins in overtime, Oakland. The 4-seed wins at the buzzer. The 1-seed wins in triple overtime. And the 2-seed, Wright State, they were laying 14. I look at the score, I'm like, okay, well, that's a good, because we talked about it yesterday.
Uh-huh.
The upsets happen every year in this conference, every year. So here's your 2-seed, although they shared the league title with, I thought they were the 1, but they shared the league title with Cleveland State. In any event, this is impossible. Should be. They're up 24 with 6 minutes. They lost the game.
Think about that.
They're up 24, much the best, 14-point favorite, class of the league, co-champ, up 24 with 6:20. They lost the game.
They're up by 18 at halftime. I gave up tracking the game last night when it ballooned that high.
I'm having dinner. I go back. I go, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
They're in overtime and they're losing? What happened? How do you do that?
Now, I stopped watching, and then like 30 minutes later, I'm scrolling down more scores. I'm like, wait a second here. It's in overtime? Milwaukee's going to win the game? Is that right? And they were a huge dog, obviously, before the tournament started to win this thing.
They're under 500, or they were under 500. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So we had 5 overtimes between 3 of the 4 games, and the other game was a 1-point game in which a team didn't score over the final 3:45, and they blew a 5-point lead.
Yeah.
This is a good tweet that I got from Brendan. I went to the Horizon League tournament 3 years in a row in Detroit. It delivered every single time. 2017, I went to nearly every game in 5 days. My wife was thrilled. Quote, what is IPFW?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. My God. That's all those. There were 4 games. That's every game delivered.
I couldn't believe it. And then they were basically all going on at the same exact time.
Yeah.
And I'll give
overtime,
you a
overtime, triple overtime, banked in threes, another blowing a 24-point lead. My God.
I'll give you one more that I didn't notice. I was watching the game last night as well. There were so many games on, but the Georgia Tech-Duke finish. Georgia Tech had 64 points with 4:47 to play. They never scored again. The game goes to overtime. You know what happened? They combined for 30 points in that stanza, and the game goes over the total.
Oh, I missed that one.
How does a team not score over the final 4:47? So you had that. You had Detroit not scoring over the final 3:45, and you had that bad beat that was on with SVP and Stanford Steve the other night, where they combined for 2 points in overtime, and the game stayed under.
Yep. Yep. God, this is great. And I'll tell you, this is the life on the bubble. I can't believe all these teams continue to vomit on themselves. Nobody's safe. Small favorites, big favorites.
No.
I mean, look what's transpired in the last couple days. 14, 3, 7, 7, 9-point favorites. Some of them routed, blown out. They all lost.
Yep.
Crazy. I do like Villanova tonight, though, to bounce back. after that horrible performance against Butler. This is where Villanova usually plays their best ball and they're peaking, not to mention you got a distraction now and some controversy with Creighton and McDermott. So that's something to look at, too. And I would trust Villanova in this spot. And then we have more action today. You know, we have the Atlantic 10 that starts this morning, 8 Pacific. The big boys don't come out till Friday, Thursday or Friday. They're doing the quarters now in the OVC. So Belmont, check the status of the big guy, the 6'11 guy who got hurt in practice as they lost. So they're not going to get it at large. They're going to have to win the conference tournament. I did see $1.30. I think that's a pretty good price, though, for them to win the OVC. But if the big guy, the Polish kid, can play, as he got hurt in practice and they went 0-2 last week without him, check his status. And then they get Thursday off, and then the semis on Friday night before they play the championship.
Actually,
on Saturday.
If you found 130, that is a good price because the number on that team to make the tournament certain books is $2, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, then if they just played, because the two and the three obviously will play in the other semifinal if form holds.
Sure.
Well, they just played the three on the road, and they were laying 9. They lost. And then I can't remember, were they laying 7 against Morehead State or 6 or something? Maybe it was shorter than that. But if they don't have one of their best players and they're still a 5, 6, 7 point favorite, what if he's back? I mean, what's the money line going to be on the dog in the championship?
Yep. Can I give you Lenardi? Now this is 10:35 p.m. last night, East Coast time.
They woke him up. Now he's doing it every day.
Okay. Last four in: Drake, Seton Hall, Michigan State, and Xavier still in, but they are fading big time. First four out, he has Boise, Utah State, St. Louis, and Duke. Now still first four out. Next four, Indiana, SMU, Memphis, and Syracuse. And he has Illinois plugged into a 4-seed. Michigan dropped from the number 2 overall, 1-seed, to the 3rd now, 1-seed. So it goes Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, and Illinois. And for those of you who found Illinois at 5-1 this week to be a 1-seed, I thought that was a great bet. And last night, I think they're in good shape right now. Let's put it that way. Illinois to land that final 1 overall seed. He's got Oklahoma State a 4-seed right now, like you said yesterday.
Wow.
Kansas a 3, and Kansas was 4.5 under even money just the other day.
What if Oklahoma State wins Thursday? I mean, they're going to go from like an 8 to a 3, just like that.
Yeah.
And Andrew sent an email in, ftm@vsin.com. The Suns are still 10-1 in Pennsylvania. They're 10-1 at Bet Rivers. That was before the game. But he just looked, they're 10-1 in Pennsylvania. They're on fire. There we go. This is crazy. This is brand name bias at its finest.
Oh, it is.
Absolutely brand name bias.
Well, it's
you
like
think the Lakers and Clippers care about winning the division? It's irrelevant. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And they continue to sit people and rest guys and just say, okay, well, we know what we're capable of. Well, with the Clippers, they choke. But we'll get in the playoffs and there's hardly going to be any fans. So what the hell's the difference? And let's go. And the Suns are legit no matter how you slice it.
You know what this is like, Paul? And you had great tickets a couple of years ago when the Warriors were in the final year of KD, when they were favored. It was basically the Warriors against the field, and they were a huge favorite, right? And you grabbed Milwaukee at 100-1 that year. This was Giannis's first MVP, the breakout season for the Bucks. You got that whenever it was before the season or early on, and you grabbed Toronto, if I recall correctly, 20-1 at some point because the Warriors were so far up here.
I think it was 12. Well, when they were down. Oh, okay, yeah,
yeah, yeah,
so, like, yeah. And well, then I agree. Yeah, they were. Yeah.
And the Western Conference is thought to be way better than the East. And
right.
So the East is like, wait, you could. And you found them. I didn't at all that year. You had unbelievable value on all those teams in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
And then we know what happened with the injuries to Golden State. KD has the Achilles. He's out. And Toronto takes it down in 6.
And still got a good price on the Raptors because they were down 0-2 in that series.
Yeah, against the Eastern.
And they got routed in game 2. But this is staggering. I mean, this is just nuts. I mean, if these books are falling asleep, they're falling asleep or not buying in, whatever. I mean, I'm not going to say anymore. I'm going to help everyone out there. I mean, they've won 15 of 18, and they blew 2 of the games.
How good of a sign was that last night that Booker gets tossed?
And they still win.
They still win the game. If you go back and look at the box score from last night, it was completely balanced.
Yep.
I don't think anybody scored more than 19 points, if I recall correctly.
Yep. I love this team. Chris Otto, too. Nice PSU Otto on Twitter. Dallas does it again. Hockey. 15-2 under run in the first period. That comes in again. They get beat Tampa, 1-0. And the prices are like $1.15, $1.20, as you said yesterday.
Yeah, it was $1.15 on the air yesterday.
Uh-huh. Colorado, 9 straight first period unders. Pittsburgh, 8 straight first period unders. Dallas, 15-2 under run first period. And the Knicks, but the Knicks go down.
In the first half.
Well, they lost the game too, but right. The Knicks had covered, 13 in a row first half. that goes down as the Spurs take them out.
You know what happened from a couple of years ago in hockey with the inflated prices on the first period because so many teams were getting there? It actually created, when teams go to the under like this with Dallas, it created some pretty decent value. Because if you have a team that's on a 15-2 run, they're $1.15. I would ask you, if a team is 15-2 and we're talking about it all year long, to the over 1.5, they're going to be $1.80, $1.75.
Mm-hmm.
And on the under, when you can find 15 cents and they're, and there was a goal, by the way, what, 7 minutes into that game and in the first period? And that was it for the rest of it? It's not bad. It's
there, there you go, Jets. What was that the other day? Jets take out Vancouver, no problem. Mm. Needed that a couple days ago.
Oh, and what we talked about with Carolina and Nashville in the game last night. The difference in special teams.
Yeah.
And Carolina took them out, no problem. And they were, what, $1.30?
Well, the empty net with 15 seconds put it over, too. 4-2 final. They put it in there.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Paul will run down everything. It's worth it again to run down everything that took place last night. Bad beats, the line moves, what a night in basketball and in sports in general. It's coming up here. Follow the money on VSiN.
With Bet Rivers' new feature, Rush Pay. Get your cash when you want it. Bet Rivers, the industry leader, exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boosts, and the most in-play betting options out there. As always, $250 match bonus, fast payouts, one-time playthrough. Bet Rivers, your hometown book. Valid in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Not valid in Iowa. Time for win-lose.
Rough night, good night. How does it make you feel? Follow the Money Looks Back so we can learn for today in Win Some, Lose Some. Let the education commence.
I heard this was fantastic. I mean, condolences to Wes Reynolds, but it was live on air when he lost that bet. But there's the play-by-play. West Virginia +2 in the first half. I mean, down one with the ball with 1 second.
Yeah.
Turnover, and then right in your eye, the kid hits the corner three. 35-31. West Virginia. Now, everyone should have won on this game because it opened 3 here at Circa, and you could have grabbed 5.5, and then it fell 5. But West Virginia by 5 in overtime. So West Virginia +5, 4.5. I know, but everyone should have won on a game like that when you see what was available. Oakland, Youngstown over 151.5, gets there because of overtime. Detroit -1, led by 5 with 3 minutes, didn't score the rest of the game. Wright State, now they were -250 to win the conference tournament. I don't know, money line, what, I mean, up 24. The guy's right on Twitter. Great job by Milwaukee not to pack it in. But still, what? That's a meltdown of all time. How do you blow a 24-point lead with 6 minutes?
No, it's such a big lead, Paul. The in-play is going to be taken down at most spots. Yeah, Phil said that.
Well, the other thing, and this is enough of this. I don't want to see this in March. If you're up 3, you foul. They gave up a 3 with 1 second left, too, to put the game into overtime.
Yeah.
You must foul up 3 with under 5 seconds.
Can you
That's
believe,
just stupid.
How is this still a discussion?
I know.
I don't get it.
You don't get and the kid's hot to hit it. The Golston kid?
Yeah.
The guy was raining. He's making it rain out there. Foul him. Buffalo-Akron under. Now, it opened 153 and closed 159. It came 158 because there were 94 points in the second half. My God, nobody's safe. Hockey. Hurricanes over 5.5. Goal with 15 seconds, empty net. Rangers save. How about this beat? The Rangers and Buffalo. Total was 5.5. They scored 3 goals in the first 2 minutes and 30 seconds of the game. 3-2 final in
sure.
A scoreless third period. Bad for the books. Islanders 140 up to 160. 140 up to 160. 1-2-1. Lightning 160 up to 180. 2-0. Suns +1. Went off a 2-point favorite. Beat the Lakers. Knicks Spurs under 216 down to 212. Lose some. Teams on the bubble again. Xavier favored. Lost. Boise laying 14. Lost. Heat Hawks over 220 up to 224. I don't get that. 94-80. Good job by the there's your new coach angle, at least for one game. Knicks plus 3.5.
No Jimmy Butler, by the way, which was announced later on today.
Yep. Knicks plus 3.5 went off a 2-point favorite. Routed by San Antone. Knicks have a bandwagon. South Carolina 9-6. Musselman can flat out coach. They were routed there. And Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. As always, a couple of dog videos. I like this one. Look at this guy trying to figure it out. I give him about 15 seconds, right? He wants out. All right, he wants to play. I don't want to be behind this gate. Nice house, though. Beautiful setup. But he wants to come in and whatever's on that other side. And he's still looking. How do I do this?
Can I charge it?
Yeah.
Like a running back?
And here we go. He realizes, I'm going to back up and get the running start. There you go.
Oh, okay.
Serious.
Right into the camera, too.
No problem. Right. Yeah, that is OMG. And this one? Yeah, the dog wants the snack here. Look at that. Ooh, blue. Look at that chicken. Wow. I'm ready to dig in. And then you get the rubber chicken. And I guess, oh, no. Not half. Shows the teeth. He wants to fight. He'll bite you. Give me the real deal.
Look at the look on his face. Oh, staring at that real chicken.
Yeah. Wait a second. No, don't play around with me. That's excellent. And that's win-lose. I want the real chicken, not the rubber chicken. Come on.
Why do you think the big move in the Knicks game? Spurs had a bunch of players out the night before. It was a back-to-back for that team. They lost in overtime to the Nets.
Oh, Knicks. It's a national story, too.
No, yeah. I know.
Yeah.
Knicks playing hot. Couldn't cover. It was weird because they were down big in the first quarter, came back to take a lead in the second quarter, and then the Spurs finished very well in that second quarter to take, 4-point lead at halftime, and then it was all San Antonio in the second half. And a nice win by the Celtics.
Yes.
To beat the Clippers, although, again, they announced it late in the day yesterday. No Kawhi for that game last night. But what is that? I think 3 in a row now for Boston. And some tough games for them. I mean, down 5 late against Washington to come back and win. And then to pull that one off. They actually swept the Clippers on the season. They went to L.A. and beat them not that long ago.
Well, maybe they can get something going here.
Let's follow the money
here
on VSiN.
Yep.
The Sports Betting Network. We'll get into today's college basketball card coming up next, including historical angles in some of these conference tournaments. Chalk is on a 4-12-1 run in this conference. Are you ready? Download the PointsBet app right now. Sign up using the promo code VSIN2K to get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000. When you bet with PointsBet, you get faster bets, withdrawals, and rewards at your fingertips. Download the PointsBet app right now to experience this premium sportsbook for yourself. So are you ready? Terms and conditions apply. Void where prohibited. Must be 21+. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services. College basketball slate is loaded again today. We have games out here on the West Coast beginning at 8 a.m. This is with the Atlantic 10. We have games starting tonight at 8:30 p.m. So we're looking at 14, 15 hours of college basketball tonight. 8-10 favorites are on a 4-12-1 ATS slide in the opening round and championship game. Now, you have some bad teams playing today, but that's what you get early on with some of these tournaments. St. Joe's in the 8 o'clock game, 11 East Coast. They're 4-14. They play LaSalle. LaSalle is 9-15. They split in high-scoring games this year, Paul, 90-83 and 91-82. That game was in overtime. Per KenPom, St. Joe's is number 184 overall in the country. LaSalle is 189. St. Joe's pace, 25th fastest team in the entire country. And that's an early game, like I said.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, should be a track meet after what happened in the first couple games. So that's a good one to start. And then the toilet bowl here with Fordham and George Washington. I mean, you're right. This is what happens when everyone's allowed to get in and everyone gets a juice box and a toy. I mean, this. But George Washington won 71-47 in late December.
Mm-hmm.
And they're laying 4.5 here against Fordham. So you see if they can do it again. The Ohio Valley starts. You have the quarters today. Only 2 games, though. They go 2 today, 2 tomorrow, and then the semis Friday. And the one seed Belmont in action. And then you have Morehead State hosting Southeast Missouri State. And here at Circa, Morehead's 9-130. This from Steve Mackin. The first 2 rounds have trended heavily to the over since 2012. It's 70%. First two rounds, 70% to the over since 2012. And then we talked about it. We'll do it later. But the dog has been barking and crushing it in the championship games. The dog has covered 9 of 10 going back at the championship games.
So what do you make of Belmont Lane 20 in this game? I mean, Edwardsville is
Well, they can name their score. They're awful.
Here's the thing. Yeah, Edward, they're the number 320 in the country. Belmont's number 87. Two times they played. The scores, 114-62 and 94-62.
My God.
So if they want to win by 20-plus and cover, they can, is what you're telling me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even without the big kid. And I want to see if the 6'11 kid, what his status is. They're going to need him. A lot of guys. I mean, check that this week, and not only today, but moving forward here. I mean, VCU, leading scorer, got hurt. Check his status coming up. The 6'11 kid for Belmont got hurt in practice. Stanford, leading scorer, got hurt. And there's a ton of guys that they're just, it's a big injuries here. And then the Hemp Hill kid from Drake could be back for the tournament Friday, or it might have to be back for the actual madness, but they got to make that first.
Uh-huh. Southeast Missouri State and Morehead State. Morehead State's laying 9 today. They beat them by 14 points and 11 points this year. Another one. The ratings overall, KenPom has Southeast Missouri State number 270. Morehead State is 135. Not close between these two teams. Wouldn't be surprised if Morehead State gets them big again there.
Yep.
And in the Patriot, double-digit Patriot League tourney underdogs have proven to be very good since 2012. 14-5 overall. Today you have Lehigh at 4-10 taking on Boston U at 6-10. First meeting of the year.
All right. And there's no such thing as hardcore for this network. Also, it's the madness. So I also like Abilene Christian. As a good point from Sean Harnish, he pointed out they already played Stephen F. Austin. They're kind of leaking oil. They did cover in their last game, but it was a struggle against a bad team. But Christian beat them, blew them out in the first game, and they didn't have a key player who's back in this one, too. So this opened one at Circa, and then you see at DraftKings, Stephen F. Austin's favorite.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think I would take a look at Christian here in a late game.
I'll give you some of the rationale behind this here. They beat him 82-62, like you said, the first time they played. Christian is number 2 in the country at creating turnovers on defense. Austin dropped now to number 7. They can also beat them at their own game. Austin ranks 333 in offensive turnovers. And Christian, down low, they have a 7-footer. And Stephen F. Austin is very good at offensive rebounds. A 7-footer can neutralize that. So a bunch of things going the way of Abilene Christian in this game. Look around. Here at Circa, looks like Christian opened up 1. Other spots, Austin opened up 1. I saw Pick'em at other spots, 25 minutes ago or so.
All right. And Wichita, couple of bubble teams. Lenardi has them a 12 seed. But they're going to have to win this game and then win a couple games in the AAC if they want to get an at-large bid. But they're laying 3.5 against Tulane, as we've talked about how bad bubble teams have been here going back. And then Seton Hall, who he had them last team in.
Yeah.
Okay, they're laying 1.5 against UConn. So that's a big game for Seton Hall. And I believe they're coming off a loss. So there's your bubble look today, as these teams have been horrible in the last week.
I know.
Not getting it done.
Yeah, Louisville and Vautech, that game has been scratched tonight. That will not be played.
What happens with Creighton tonight? Any idea?
Because of the coach?
Well, sure. It's a big controversy. He had to come out with a statement.
Yeah.
I'm being kind to say poor choice of words, but we'll see how they respond. But that's one thing. Distraction, okay. But maybe they're pissed off at him, and maybe they don't accept his apology, or maybe they do. But I just think Villanova's the better team. And when is Villanova going to shoot 2 of 27 from 3 again? 12-point favorite, routed by Butler.
Yeah.
And I think that, they'll be peaking now going in. And they usually play well in the Big East tournament. I think you get a huge effort out of Villanova tonight.
This game opened up 3?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, people agree with you because I know that you like them. It's now up to 4. I honestly have no idea. We talk about that all the time. How do you handicap like human emotion? Well, there's some of that element to the game tonight, clearly, with what he did.
Where's his head at?
Exactly right.
He's putting the game plan together. He's got to coach the guys up, give the rah-rah speech, all this other business. His head can't be there. He might have checked out. He's got to worry about other things. He's got to worry about keeping his job.
I think Lenardi has Creighton a 4 seed right now. Villanova's slipping. I thought Villanova was going to be better than what they were this year. I know we've had a bunch of weird things happen.
Well, they had a long time off,
too. Oh, I know they did. Yes. I know. And, Jay Wright's so good that, again, his teams over, their title run years, they had some of the most impressive March runs we've ever seen, right? But also, as we pointed out the other day, like since 2009 when they made that Final Four run, it's championship or second-round exit every single year for this team.
How about the game out here? Can San Diego State's very good, and it's a hell of a program.
Right.
Can they be laying 11 with their lack of offense and a total that's in the low 130? Can they really be laying 11?
Well,
it's kind of a rivalry game for UNLV?
I want to say yes, because they've had UNLV's number a lot over the years, and also the Rebels stink.
Well, there's a difference between winning and then winning by 12.
Oh, sure. But they've had a lot of lopsided wins in that time. And there's already talk here. I mean, how long has it been? 2 years?
They want him out?
Well, people here are already pushing to get him out.
Oh, my God.
Can't stand him. I think he's terrible.
How do you go from Lon Kruger?
How'd you let Lon Kruger go?
Well, then you had Chris Beard. Yeah. You had Chris Beard for 2 weeks.
Total debacle. Paul Stone on the program coming up next. He likes to concentrate on betting individual matchups in golf. We'll talk to him about that and who he likes tonight in college hoops. Join the action on DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Download the app, use the promo code VSIN when you sign up to compete for cash prizes every week. Don't wait, sign up now, and new customers get a deposit bonus up to $500. That code is VSIN when you sign up. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in Indiana, the number is 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Must be 18 years or older. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. We talk to our next guest every week during the college football season. He's also very good at betting golf, college basketball. He's going to be out here for the madness as well. Paul Stone joins the program. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing great, man. It's great to be in the month of March, one of my favorite months of the sports calendar, and great to be talking a little college hoops and golf with you guys.
Yeah. Have you been swimming in the deep waters yet with FCS, or are you staying away?
You know, I stayed away. It just, you know, I think you need to be a specialist somewhat and not a jack of all trades and a master of none, so to speak. So I'm just really so fully immersed in college basketball and PGA golf that I just decided, hey, I'm going to spend my extra time getting ready for the 2021 FBS season. So I'm not doing any FCS, really. So I'm oddly enough, kind of staying away.
It's logical. Good move. Okay, let's begin with college basketball then tonight. Paulie was just talking about the Creighton-Villanova game. He made his case for which side he likes in the contest. Who do you like, Paul, with Villanova now laying 4 points in the game?
Yeah, this is an interesting game. You know, these Big East rivals, they played 2.5 weeks ago in Omaha. Creighton rolls to an 86-70 victory over Villanova in that one. The Blue Jays shot 59% from the field. They were 12 of 26 from three-point land. And Marcus Zigorowski, their standout shooting guard, a season-high 25 points. So Creighton was really hitting in all cylinders in that game. Both these teams in this one, they're uncharacteristically coming off of losses. Underdog in this series, interesting to note, covered six straight in this particular series. I'm not going to go in very heavy, really just a ham sandwich. I'm going to recommend a small position on Villanova, laying the points to even the series, season series. So hopefully you can still find some four out there. Certainly just a small position on Villanova -4 over Creighton.
Okay, very good. Good luck to you, sir. And the Atlantic 10 starts this morning. The St. Joe's and LaSalle, they play two high-scoring games. What do you think of this one?
Yeah, I think it starts at 8 a.m. Pacific, so get to have a little breakfast basketball this morning. You look at St. Joe's, just a few weeks ago, February 20th, actually, they're 1-14. But on that day, their 6'5 shooting guard, Ryan Daly, he returns from a thumb injury, which kept him out of action, I believe, for 10 games. Since Daly's return, they've won three straight. Started there on the 20th of February when he had 30 points against this very same LaSalle team. They beat LaSalle 91-82 in overtime. And then since then, they defeated Dayton at home by 13, also won at Richmond in their last game by 3. So St. Joe's enters the tournament in Richmond today on a three-game winning streak since Daly's return from a thumb injury. I think they make it four in a row. I'm going to lay the small number against LaSalle this morning in Richmond.
All right. You sold me on that one. Very good. And then the OVC quarters today, Morehead State open 9 here at Circa against Southeast Missouri State.
Yeah, we're going to continue to go a little bit off the beaten path here where maybe people aren't looking at these games quite as much. My recommendation in this OVC opener in the tournament is going to be primarily based on the situation and a combination of factors rather than, you know, what I would call pure fundamental handicapping. You look at Morehead, they're coming off of an emotional game. I mean, their biggest victory of the year, they won in overtime on Saturday against Belmont at home. Now the Eagles have a fairly quick turnaround. They've got to play a team they've already defeated twice during the regular season, beat them by double digits both times. In fact, they've now beaten Southeast Missouri State 3 straight times by double digits dating back to last season. In those three games, though, they're just favored by 5.5 points or fewer. So they not only won all three by double digits, they covered all three by double digits. Now the line's up to 9, maybe 8.5 in some places. I think this is kind of a stale spot for Morehead State. I'd recommend splitting a unit, take Southeast Missouri State, half a unit, first half, try to get plus 9 for the full game. Look for Morehead State to be a little flat here.
Okay, very good. Follow the money here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Paul Stone is our guest. And you like to specialize in when we bet golf, you know, we generally talk about outrights, maybe some top fives, top tens, more than matchups. But you like to specialize in matchups. How has the golf betting been going for you since the beginning of the year?
You know, it was up and down until this past weekend, pretty much probably in the spirit of full disclosure, maybe a little bit above water. But this past weekend, I hit 7 of 8 matchups. So had a real good week between the WGC event and the Puerto Rico Open. So had a great week last week and hope to continue it this week. But I do, you know, I do a little bit just for fun, mostly play some players to win. But my focus is on the matchups. I think the household is less in those types of markets, so that's kind of where I do focus my energies in my golf handicapping.
Sure. So let's begin with a couple that you like then. I've heard a lot of people make the case for Molinari to win it this week. You like him in a matchup over Fleetwood. Why?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, he's a guy who is playing well this calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 3 top tens. Was really off his game a little bit last year, but he's back in the groove. And not only has he got great current form, but he's had great success at Bay Hill. He won this tournament 2 years ago in 2019. You know, he's a true horse for a course. Tommy Fleetwood has been a steady player, one of the best players in Europe over the last decade, roughly. But he's not playing quite as well as he has. I just like the convergence of trends here. Molinari's current form, his horse for a course history here, only having to lay a quarter, got a great track record. So I'll take Molinari -125 over Tommy Fleetwood for the tournament.
Okay, so that's number one. Number two, Jason Kokrak, who is very consistent the way it seems. And last week I bet him in play, thought he was going to make a run. He played well, but some of those other guys at the top were just too good in the tournament a week ago. This week at the Arnie Palmer, you like Kokrak in his matchup, and that is against Harris English, correct?
Absolutely. I tell you, you know, I talked a little bit about Molinari being a horse for a course. This might be Jason Kokrak's favorite track on the tour. At Bay Hill, he's a regular here. I think he's played the last 7 years. In his last 7 trips here, he's recorded 5 top 20s, also 3 top 10s in that top 20 run. He's had a 4th, a 6th, and a 10th, tied for 9th this past weekend in the WGC event. So he's playing quite well. Bay Hill's one of his favorite courses. And then you look at his opponent in this matchup. Harris English actually won earlier this year, won the Tournament of Champions back in January. But since he won that tournament, he's played 4 tournaments. He's missed 2 cuts. Seems to be a little bit off his game. Kokrak's comfortable here. I'll lay the 134 and take him over Harris English this week.
Okay, how about a little bit of a plus money? And Spieth has been one of the stories in this sport going back a good month or so, Paul. Been great, and you found some plus money on him against Jason Day?
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Spieth, I think many have wondered, you know, you ask yourself over the past few years as his game's deserted him, you know, whether he's ever going to return, you know, to the sports elite, whether he'll ever win another PGA golf tournament. And something really interesting, a couple of weeks ago at Genesis, he didn't even qualify, by the way, for the WGC event last week. So he was, idle last week due to the fact that he wasn't qualified for it. But at the Genesis 2 weeks ago at Riviera, he did something he hadn't done since April of 2015. So he had not done this in almost 6 years. And what that was is he entered the weekend in the top 10 for the third straight tournament. Mm. He ultimately didn't finish in the top 10. He finished tied for 15th, I believe, but entered the weekend in the top 10 for three straight tournaments. He's found his driver. I think that was a lot of his problem in his, the time that his game's really been off form. But his last three, again, tied for 15th, tied for third, tied for fourth. One downside to this matchup, this is Spieth's first time to play in the Arnold Palmer event, so he's not played at Bay Hill in a competitive setting. But at plus money, I'm going to take my chances against Jason Day. I think Jordan Spieth is on the way back. He's going to win soon. He's going to win this calendar year. I'll take Spieth plus money over Jason Day.
Good observation on him going into the tournament. Three consecutive top tens like that, first time since 2015. Okay, so those are your matchups, your biggest plays, obviously. You like to sprinkle some pizza money or a ham sandwich on the outrights. Who do you like to win it?
Well, I'm going to take, I take mostly long shots and mid shots, but Victor Hovland, obviously a short shot. I got him at a little bit over 13-1, a great ball striker, not a great putter, but I think I'm interested to see what Andy Jeff says because he's such a great golf handicapper. But I think that profile really fits well here at Bay Hill. You look at his current form, his last seven starts, he's got six top sixes in his last seven starts. I don't know if anybody's playing better than Victor Hovland right now in the entire tour, in the entire world. Then the aforementioned Molinari, I got him at a little over 40-1 to win the tournament. Jason Kokrak at a little over 42-1 to win the tournament. And then Jordan Spieth at a little bit better than 43-1 to win the tournament. Then a few three even longer shots. Will Zalatoris at 57.5-1. A guy who's 24 years old from Plano, Texas, actually played at Wake Forest, which is the same school that Arnold Palmer played at. He just might be the sport's next golden boy. Zalatoris is a guy who's already playing well out here, despite not being a full-fledged member of the tour. He's a guy, again, that's going to win sometime in the next 12 months. I'm going to keep riding him until he does, so I've got a ticket on Will Zalatoris. And then two long shots, a little bit over 100-1. Luke List at 110-1, and Maverick McNealy at 115-1. Luke List has had moderate success on the PGA Tour, but he has played quite well at Bay Hill. Finished 10th here in 2019, tied for 7th in 18, tied for 17th in 2017. So List has really played well here. A few weeks back at Pebble Beach, Maverick McNealy contending on the back nine on Sunday. Ultimately finished second, just a couple of shots behind Daniel Berger. But McNealy's in excellent current form. Again, at over 100-1, I think he's worth a shot. So Maverick McNealy at 115-1.
Great stuff, Paul. Good luck this week. We'll see you soon, and good talking to you again, pal.
Good deal. Look forward to seeing you guys first weekend of March Madness. Y'all have a great weekend.
Sounds good. More tremendous feedback on dumbest events we've ever bet on coming up next.